All right, folks, welcome to the Musky 360 podcast. A Jay Bird is on Steve. The brink of death, everyone. It's not from gambling. It's nothing but both of us came down with something super nasty. If you remember the last podcast, the week before last, we were kind of hacking. What happened after that is we missed the first episode for the first time in eons. We were both sicker than dogs. It was ridiculous. Jay, if you hear Jay coughing, he's trying to get over it. We got on the meds, and Jay's been taking tough acting to Nactin is what you said, right?
They put me on some new experimental something, I think, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, Kerplakistan or something like that. Whatever, it's an antibiotic.
Whatever yeah. It is, you know. Oh, my God. The most sad thing you've ever seen is two grown men laying at neighbor Steve's house, sweating it out like you're in the sweat lodge. It was ridiculous.
Good times.
No, it was hell. We were banned from the Musky shop. Jim's like, do not come to the store. Like, it was ugly.
Yep. How's Canada? You're in Canada right now.
No, really, is Jay. It? Thanks mm-hmm. for the great
they set. Can't tell.
Great setup, Jay. Mm-hmm. No, I was going to say some freaking goofus freaking comes to the bash or something, gave us the dirty, if you know what I mean. Gave us the dirty. It's from shaking hands. That's why I don't do crowds too often. But yes, I am in Canada right now this week. I got neighbor Steve and Buck. We're out fishing together doing the deal. We've been catching some fish. So
okay,
got some muskies going for sure. Nothing monstrous yet getting dialed in. Neighbor Steve popped a 40-inch northern, which was a nice bonus, and we've got some trophy class muskies already, but no monsters yet. It's okay. Interesting. Okay. So pretty cold water temps when we were getting started off here, and then, you know, today it's kind of the first thing of a warm-up, and then, you know, it's going. If you're listening to the Musky 360 Canada Fishing Report with Danny Herbeck, Jamie Pastilli, you know, they've got a lot of great info as what's going on here, and I'm going to probably hook up with Danny here very shortly. We're going to do some stuff and get on it. Get down on that thing. So it'll be interesting. But no, it's cool, man. It's good stuff. And we're finally hitting kind of a hot streak, if you will, as far as temperatures. And things are moving. But it's still not. It's funny. It's like they don't. They're on the cusp. A lot of big fish are on the cusp right now. It's not like they're losing their mind. So getting dialed in on that. Jay, can you pull up the comings and the goings at the Musky Shop? Is there anything of note? I have enough cell reception to do a podcast, maybe. We'll see.
We got a new lure lineup coming in. Ooh. I'm not sure if the stuff's there. I haven't really been at work for a while.
Buck, how's the burgers coming?
Yeah.
They're cooking, folks. We got Buck. He's a man in the grill right now.
Oh, well, that sounds good.
But what new lineups are coming in? What's going on there?
MM24 stuff, MM25, something like that.
I don't know much about it.
I haven't seen it yet. They were at the bash, but yeah, I didn't get around too good.
So, if you've left the bash and died, blame Jay. He's the bearer. Mm-hmm. He's the bearer of all disease. So, grown man in sweatpants. Anyway, so we got that going. Oh, we're still hacking. Sorry, folks. It's the audio quality you die for. Anyway, so whatever Jay said, great info. MM what? MMA? One more time. What do they make, Jay? I can't see it. Expound.
It's got? Not. It's coming. It's MM26.
And what do they make? Do we know?
I really do.
Okay,
looks like a glide bait and another glide. Looks like glide baits.
There you go.
Well, that's cool.
The more you know, folks.
No, I didn't. When we were doing interviews, I did not do their booth, and I didn't either.
Oh my goodness!
You must have.
No, dude.
Okay.
Did
we miss anybody?
Did we? We're both sick as dogs. So we were very proud at the bash. Guys, bash recap, for those of you who weren't there, just a phenomenal time. I love seeing all the podcasters come out and everybody's got the deals and steals. We had 15% off. You had custom baits. it was like a super fun, super fun, great time had by most. But no, everybody had a good time, tons of cool deals and everything, and a lot of interesting bait companies, a lot of different stuff that was coming out. What was it? Netmate was there, and you know, a lot of cool stuff. Don from Figure Eight made his way out there. And me and Jay, what we did is we went booth to booth. We talked to all the vendors where we, you know, if you've came to the bash, you would have got to hear all this interesting stuff as far as what's happening at these different companies, what's going on. And Jay and I made a list, and we checked it twice, and we split everybody up. And I believe that we're dinguses, and we missed that guy.
It's possible.
Well,
they were in the upper left corner. They were down in your wing, so that's on you.
Oh, here we go. Assigning blame.
Yeah, that's
what a messy thing to do. No, it was fun. Mm-hmm. We had a great time. A lot of people are catching fish. Yeah. Me and Jay got a ton. We're excited about. I don't know what's going on with the production on it, but we filmed a ton of great instructional stuff. We already put out one of the glide bait things, and we've got some more stuff coming out here. And then we're all excited. Me and Jay were like, we got all the work done, right? We did all the hard stuff. And then we get to go fishing. Guess what happened? No, we laid in the floor like we had the, remember the scene in Alien where the chest busters coming out of them?
You better believe it.
That's what it felt like for like a week. Anyway, goodness freaking gracious. I'm going to have to take it to the phones here. We're so behind on the wonderful listeners here. We're going to play catch up this week and get with it. Anyway, Jordan, SP, while targeting tigers on Finger Lakes in the upstate New York, I encountered fish moving along the surface with the top 2 inches of its head sticking out of the water with its jaws chalked open a bit. He swam along the surface for like a good 30, 40 yards. Before we were close enough, and he spooked. Ever encountered this? Yes, it's the weirdest thing you will see in muskie fishing. I believe we talked about this years back as far as... Where's my burger, Steve?
It's coming!
Jesus, freaking working with rank amateurs in this camp. I'm waiting on a burger here. Anyway, I have seen muskies, we call it threshing their gills or doing all this weird stuff, where they're swimming with their mouth open. The best explanation, the most logical thing I have heard, and it is conjecture at the best. At best, it's conjecture. The best answer I've heard is they're trying to rid themselves of bacteria in their gills. Is that true? Who knows? Probably not, but it sounds good. You know? Sounds good to me. Maybe he's just cruising on the top looking for a duck, Jay. Just eyes shut, looking for a duck. If only a
monster muskie caught a giant duck.
Oh God! Okay, guys, I have a question. Jay, hold on here.
Okay.
I need. Who doesn't have a YouTube channel now? Like we were sick, and what are you doing? Right, I'm obsessed with fishing.
Mm-hmm.
We're pulling up. Well, you can't watch TV. I've watched the local news in Rhinelander. It was like watching a car crash in reverse. It was just ridiculous. It's like, we got to see a clip from the guy that did the dumpster gift card of destiny there for a moment. We saw.
Yeah, he did a follow up piece.
He's doing better, folks. I think the dumpster gift card of destiny was his first ever spot there on the local news. But yeah, the news up there sucks. So you watch a lot of YouTube. And son of a bitch, everybody with a boat and a musky rod's doing the tube of you. It's funny. We were watching it. It's interesting. I'm not saying it's good. I'm not saying it's bad. Just saying it's there. we had a hoot. And, you know, we did. We get in massive trouble. But we did enjoy. Jay and I did enjoy a few moments of levity during our illness. Remember Mystery Science Theater 3000, where they would sit there and rag on old movies? Folks, you'll never get to enjoy this. But if you can imagine, Jay and Steve sitting in his living room, just watching musky videos from the 70s and 80s and just just raw dogging them. It was pretty epic. So more points for the board there, Bobble. Anyway,
you know, one guy's channel, it says he's got the words river monster in every title.
Well, that's moving on. We're not here to judge. I just thought it was funny. It was just like an abyss. It wasn't even a sea of musky videos. It was never ending. It was just like Lunker. I'm not going to make
Monster
up.
Cut.
I'm not even going to make up a name because it's probably somebody's channel. But it was just so surreal. It was just like, okay, everybody's doing it. See, do. I don't care. I'm not saying it's bad. It's just an observation. I don't get on the YouTube that much, Jay. I don't. I was shocked everywhere I look. Here's, you know, midgets musky fishing. You know, it's like midget freaking twins busky. It's whatever. Everybody's got their shtick. I found it to be interesting. Not good, not bad. Interesting. Chris, I thought I noticed a video on side imaging on the app. Don't seem to find it right now. Was it removed? No, we don't remove anything. Just dig back there. You can go to the search function on the app and type in side imaging. If you're not looking for it, I would say if you're looking for a particular side image of any, it's usually Chaz Martin. I like side imaging, but I'm not the biggest fan. I would guesstimate, look at Chaz Martin. He's going to be the guy there for you. Next one up, who do we have? Jeff. Jeff says, I'll be going to Menaki with my son, who is 8 and a good fisherman, but not big enough to throw big baits. Last year, we did very well with White Poseidon, 10-inch, Shadzilla, 9-inch, and a Savage Gear 9-inch sucker. Looking for suggestions of baits my son can throw and be successful with. He's what? He's 8? Here's, you know, I'm thinking you could get
him some spinners that are always working spinner baits.
Well, I would get him a small swimming dog. Get him a small shallow swimming dog. If you did so well on the swim baits last year, shallow swimming dog's going to be the ticket. What do you want?
How do you like your burgers?
Cooked, but not something. Listen, I want my burger cooked, not something you would get me kicked out of Texas, right? I don't need well. I just need, I want to taste a little blood, okay. You know, but not nothing gory. But anyway, I would recommend the small shallow swimming dog would be a good ticket there. If you've done well on swim baits in the past, like Jay said, an alternative is like a small ace bait or a small figure eight would be good there. Oh, here's an email from Front Desk. I left a personal shaver in my room. Fantastic. So, I guess somebody's going to come back with a big beard this year.
Great. They have a front desk in Canada?
No, it was a hotel I stopped at. Mike, absolutely love the podcast. Ahoy from Canada, he says. I fish northern Georgia Bay and waste my life looking for a needle in a haystack. But when they hit, holy moly, you got a story. I've got a couple if you ever want to hear them. How did the muskie world agree that 80 degrees is the right temperature to stop muskie fishing? Why is it not 78 or 82 degrees? Why is it not a measurement at depth? That would make more sense. Most importantly, what is a Fahrenheit? What is a Fahrenheit? Well, he was a scientist. This is his last name. Our water never hits 80 because it would be damn near boiling. Water boils at 100. Okay, got it. Now we're playing word play. Really enjoy the podcast. Look forward to every Monday when I get a chance to listen. Here's the deal. There is no settled, dangerous words coming out of my mouth. The science is not particularly settled on this, right? Years back, had Jordan Weeks on. He's the head biologist for Wisconsin. He said if the water's 80, he's fishing, and if they hit, they're not stressed. I got on a tear the other day where I was talking about handling's more important than anything, which I always believe. I believe that safe handling trumps everything. You can kill a fish in the dead of winter if you hold it out of the water. Guess what? They don't breathe air. So there's point number one, right?
There's point number one.
They don't breathe air. So Jay practices sometimes in the floor. He'll lay in the floor of his boat and choke himself.
Acclimation. Steve.
To see what it's like, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like a David Carradine thing, he said. I don't know what that meant.
Neither do I.
Anyway, he'll just lay in the floor of his boat and choke himself. Just what is it like? He'll get in his net, flop around a little bit. Nonetheless, where 80 came from is the dissolved oxygen levels are supposed to be too low. I agree. It's heresy to say fish above 80. It's not something I'm looking to do. It's just something that is probably safer. Now, for me, the rule of thumb for me is my transducer in the back of the boat, if it's 80, but my trolling motor is like 77, 78, I don't care. Right? That skimmer surface temp doesn't bother me at all. I think it's detrimental when we're fishing water where, say, on your trolling motor, I've got like whatever the longest trolling motor there is sticking down the freaking water. Yeah, when it's 4 feet down and it's 80 degrees, that's problematic, I believe, right? So just use common sense. I mean, in this guy, yeah, Georgian Bay, I don't think you're going to run into that too terribly often. But, you know, why isn't it 79? You know, why is it that you will become chastised at 79? You're towing the line, buddy. You're towing the line. Fish after 80 and you're chastised. Man, I don't know. I mean, what, does 1 degree make a difference? No. It's not like at 80 all the oxygen leaves the upper part of the water column. I don't believe so. It's like, oh my, at 80, dead. 79, okay. And I think that 80 has been the number to get good messaging out to people that are not avid muskie anglers. There's a lot of people, believe it or not, that don't listen to muskie podcasts that fish 1 week a year, or they fish every now and again, and they're not really in the same headspace of the muskie world. Whereas I believe the 80 was kind of put out there as a standard to kind of just get it to permeate through everybody, right? Like I would say the majority, like if you could survey everybody that quote unquote fishes for muskie, not a serious muskie angler, but somebody that fishes, I would say most of them know that 80 is kind of the number, right? And I think that's just good messaging. I think somebody kind of that perpetuated, you know what I'm saying? If you say it enough, that's good. Is the true number of detrimental harm 85? I don't know. Is it 77? I don't think so, because they're usually coming in screaming like monkeys at 77, which I've always found weird, because like 77 is like, oh yeah, I'm excited, let's fish topwater, and then magically 80, it's just a death sentence. But the other side of that, like I said, is it skimmer temperature? Is it trolling motor temperature? Who knows? Who knows? An abundance of caution should be used at all times when pursuing muskies. You know, again, not to speak out of school or misquote, but years back, I believe Jordan Weeks sort of said, if it's 80 and I want to go fishing, I'm going to fish. I believe that was something. I think that's I'm paraphrasing, but that about gets around it. And I've said before, you know, you row up to whatever and it's your week trip and you took off work and that's all you got to work with, I'm not going to sit there and run my mouth about it. I mean, whatever, you know, don't do it on my water.
Possibly not as harmful too. If it's like, if you start out in the morning and it's cloudy, the water temp's 80, your surface water's 80, right? It's cloudy, it's a cool day, and you catch a fish and it's out of the water, and it's the average release time, you know, 10 seconds out of the water, 15 seconds, whatever. Dude, it is.
Let's back it up.
Compared to a 90-degree sunny middle of the day,
you think
possibly more harmful to the fish.
Dude, you think the average... Okay. The average...
If you were to do that.
Me, yeah. The average person's release time, my favorite thing of all... And do this when you're fishing, right? I just give you something to be a real, real bitch about, right? Maybe you're not catching them, but somebody else near you catches one. You can scrutinize how long it takes them to get them out of the net. You're like, oh, it's been like 4 minutes. You know, You become a ER doc. The second they hit the net, your job is trauma surgeon. That fish is stressed, but that, I think, and I'll swear to it, man, I'll swear to it, that most of the problems we get, yes, hot water and hot temperatures are bad, don't get me wrong, but a lot of it's like, they're rolled up in the net, and it's heads above the water for 90 seconds. Jay, when you're laying in the floor of your boat choking yourself, what's the longest you can go before you pass out?
Exactly right. Look at it that way.
You know, but it's keep their head underwater. That's where they breathe. That's important. You know, if it's hotter than a snake's ass, don't hold that thing out for 14 minutes for your glamour shots. I've said it before. Have your photo system lined up. Blah 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 blah. But I don't know. That's just a rabbit hole. I kind of hate the rabbit hole, and I kind of like that rabbit hole sometimes because it just is what it is. But I'll tell you, you know, just be smart about it. It's a living creature. Ernest, what size lake do you prefer to fish after cold fronts? Are clear water lakes better than dark, tannic waters? Also, is there any advantage to natural lakes, sluges, or rivers? Thank you for any insight. So, Ernest, in a cold front, given my druthers, right, if I've got everything, I'm up at Jay's, I'm not dying in his floor, right? Every moment doesn't feel like I'm living out the lyrics to Comfortably Numb down in the basement. Ah, freaking out. Given my druthers in a cold front situation, I'm going to go to moving water, right? Moving water seems to be more forgiving for frontal movements. Now, that's a gross generality. That's a very general statement. However, it tends to play true where, you know, if I can get on, you know, whatever lake X, Y, and Z, and it's gin clear and it's post-frontal versus getting on moving water that's, I'd rather be on moving water that's clear than, you know, a lake that's clear post frontal. You know, now the next thing I'm gonna look for is, can I get on tannic, like the Wisconsin River that's tannic post frontal? Even better, right? So the darker the water, moving water is better for me, and then minimal size of the body of water. I mean, I'm not gonna go, we've joked about before, like if you guys know Wisconsin lakes or anything for reference. You know, in a severe cold front, I'm not looking to freaking run my butt up to Trout Lake in Wisconsin. You know, not looking to do it. Not looking to get crazy with the cheese wedge. You know, so minimal size, darker better, more flowy, more goody. What do you say, Jay? What do you got there?
Yeah, that's the normal answer, is getting on moving water. You know, river systems less affected and all that, but it can be just as tough, and you got to make just as many adjustments on the river. So is it any better? I'd say no. It's just, the main thing is adjustments wherever you go.
I hear you. Awesome. Addison, my question this week consists of what to look for when fishing deep rivers and waterways in the fall. Hey, we're getting ahead of the game. I know this is a pretty basic question, but I'm constantly finding the urge to stick next to structures like dams or water inlets or outlets. You know, I don't hear a lot about river fishing on the podcast. Thanks from good old boy from West Virginia. We've covered quite a bit of it. We're just talking a little bit of moving water. I fish moving water quite frequently. And what we're looking for is, especially if we don't have a topo map, like some bodies of water just simply don't have a bathymetry study done. I call it topography for ease of use, but you don't have a depth chart or whatever. We need to think like a trout angler, inside turns, outside turns, pocket pools, and eddies. When it comes to a river, yes, man-made structure, dams, wing walls, all inlets, outlets are great, but learn the structural elements that are taking place under that body of water. It's going to change your life, you know, because river muskies are looking for areas that are slack water, where they can be lazy, and ambush, right? So current becomes a type of cover in some capacity, right? So if I lay in the slack water right off of a current seam, I can ambush very well without exerting calories, things of that nature. So that comes into play. You can pretty much drift a river, and it will kind of tell you where to look. right? Where are you having issues where, you know, it's pulling you into the shoreline? Well, you know.
Yeah, right.
Get off the motor and just kind of drift it safely, and you'll notice stuff. Going, oh, my boat's not moving nearly as fast here. You'll start noticing these seams. You'll start noticing these areas, these spots that really change the game for you. You know, it's an interesting thing to do, but sometimes you just gotta, sounds corny, go with the flow. So, you know, just let it go. Josh says, is neighbor Steve Fest hell on hemlock going to happen? No, it would have been the number one virus. We already knew how to happen. It would be the number one virus spreading event in the Northwoods of all time. You add in that me and Jay were sick, and this now it would be a far less sexy viruses, Jay. Wouldn't have been as good. Would have been an ugly scene. No, maybe next year we did have an idea. We did have an idea about a little funsies for next year. We will have our revenge for hell on hemlock. Anyway, another question I want to ask. Okay, it said, had a guy tell me to open up free spool during the figure eight. Is this a common practice? He said they can bust the line with the strike, but is it just an opinion? Sorry, I'm muddling through this email. If you drag a set correctly, you would have a better chance at a hookup than letting the line slip between your thumb and free spool. Okay, let's back this whole thing up here. So, I will argue to the end of time about drag, right? So,
yeah.
Crank it. Crank that hog all the way down. On the cast, crank it. Your rod, when you appropriately set the hook, you don't set it some goofy way. You set it up and to the side. Your rod bounces. It has give at the tip, right? Right? If you need to back it off a hair once you've hooked up a fish, a quarter turn back will get you. This garbage about having a little bit of slip in your drag when you're casting is just goofus. I don't know where that started. I find it to be, if you can't tell, I'll argue with anybody until the end of time. When muskies hit my stuff, they get hooked, right? The drag doesn't slip. There's nothing. You get hook penetration. This is the transfer of power from the rod tip to the fish's face in one foul swoop. Now, your job as an angler is to not lose your mind and act like a dingus. And once you've got your rod up high in a control position, you need to be considering backing the drag off then. Because if you have the drag that slips on a big fish out on the cast, who's going to say with a rubber bait or something like that, you're going to get any hook penetration. Right? Now, when it comes to fish that hit close to the boat and things of that nature, I would say that the main reason, hold on, Jay. Guys, sorry about that. I got beeped there, and I really don't have the same control on the road as I do at the house. So, my apologies. But back to the drag thing. So, as we bring a bait in, and we're in the last 10 feet or something of that nature, we're going to the figure eight. We need to be cognizant of taking the pressure off for a fish that hits in the eight. I do not click my drag open under thumb pressure into the figure eight. Booker does it when I fish with him, and some other guys do it. I fished those left-handed Abu Garcias for so many years, you know, before they had lefty super reels, that I just never got in the habit of it. However, every time a fish hits me in the figure eight, I don't care if it's a 31 or a 51, I go, and I hit that thing with I hit the thumb bar with my thumb. I free spool immediately. The hookup happens, thumb bar, and I'm fighting them on spool pressure. Muskies can pull a little bit drag under spool pressure or thumb pressure, obviously, but people like really overestimate what a muskie's going to do boat side or how strong they are. You can hook up with a fish under thumb pressure on your spool easily, right? So don't ever think it. Have your drag cranked on the cast, and if you get hit in the figure eight, free spool it under thumb pressure immediately. And I mean, you're not going click it open and then put your thumb on it. It's all one foul swoop, or get in the habit of doing it, you know, immediately. It doesn't matter either way, but I'll tell you, man, playing. It's a dangerous game playing with the drag, Jay. Oh, I got it backed off a little bit. No. Nope. Caught some fish the other day, Jay. Crane bait with stock hooks with the drag.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. They're tiny little hooks. That's mm-hmm. called hook the fish and then let the rod take the absorption. You have a modicum of snub in there already. And people just seem to think it's all happening at the reel. Your rod, when you appropriately set the hook, has bend. It has a boop, 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 right? And I can't think of the last time. And I'm in a fish camp, Jay. Guess what I hate more than anything? Stories, right? Well, one time, Big Eddie caught him a 64 and a half.
Head was on one side of the boat, and the tail was on the other.
Got it. He missed a 67 earlier on a hog wobbler that he had modified with a grub. Shut up. Don't want to hear it. The amount of muskies that actually pull drag at the reel, come on, dude. Not many. Okay. Love the fish. Love more than anything. There's not a lot of drag pullers. Don't mess yourself up on missing fish by playing the drag game, whatever. And it, like I said, it's easier said than done because drag's kind of a temperamental thing. You just don't get as, you got to check it out with somebody, you know what I'm saying, or have an opportunity to see what it's appropriately set. But I say crank that hog down. Iron Pipe Tyson, great name. Canada beat my ass. Fished Lake of the Woods for a week, and I only hooked up with two. They all wanted to check out my Titan, but I really struggled to get them to bite it. I tried downsizing to Junior, but didn't even get them to follow on that. I was trying my best to keep my retrieves erratic, including pause throughout. Also tried a multitude of other types of baits, but only saw consistent action on the Titan. Any thought of what I should have done differently? I've had the exact same trip with Steve Herbeck years back. Exact same trip. It was on Eagle. And nothing would move. Nothing would happen. But we could get follows on Titans. That was it. And I got lucky enough to get the eat. I've been there, done that. Sometimes.
I mean, you're weighting them down to get them run real deep, too, that trip. Or, wasn't that the ticket?
No.
You could get down 8 feet?
No.
Okay.
Different trip. So,
Anyway.
So, this was just fishing them on weed edges and in slots and pockets, and that was it. Couldn't get them to bite it. Couldn't give it up. But we were moving fish. Now we were coming back to these things and trying different stuff. We were trying some blades. We're trying rubber, anything that could be a follow up. And I've seen it. I've just gone any other bait or any other thing you'd have on. I'm not saying it's a Titan in particular. I'm just saying any just presentation style. Nothing else will move a fish, but diving rods will, and you're going, okay, well, it's pulling up fish that we got a chance at. Now, I've done the same thing. I've gone to the drawing board, but you move on a Titan, you throw back anything from a JB Rattler to a small dog to a whatever, the junior, and you don't even get the follow. So there's times I've seen it, and it happens. On occasion where you go, well, if I wasn't throwing this, I wouldn't see any fish. The only thing I've seen work well is fishing in conjunction with somebody where they're kind of throwing behind you. And I mean, your bait's coming straight into the boat and they're crossing you at, say, a 45 every now and again. So they're throwing behind your bait to kind of cut off a fish that's following it, because you can get a reaction strike. But it's rare, but I know exactly what dude's talking about, because I've lived it, and it is stupid. So there's no great silver bullet for that. Anyway, gotcha. Hold on. Let's get one more in here, guys. It is a long one. Me and Jay are doing our best not to hack. We will come.
I'm hitting you today.
Yeah.
I'm a ball of sunshine. Am I not, Steve?
No, you kind of suck. Anyway.
Hey, you know what we didn't mention earlier, Steve?
What's that?
You were talking about Abu's a second there. We've got Abu Garcia Beast Reels, yeah. $100 off.
That's a big deal.
So
what is that?
It's a big
cover?
Deal. Well, what is there? Four models of Beast, two left and two right, two different gear ratios.
Six threes? So what's going on with those? You got, yeah, what, 6'3" right, and 4'9"?
Well, it's kind of like the, yeah, something like that. It's like the opposite on Beast. You know, the power handle version is actually the lower gear, uh-huh, and the paddle handle, the double handle, is the higher gear one. So we got them all in stock right now, but
what
it
do
looks
you know?
Like eventually, we don't know when, that something new is going to be coming out. So this is their top of the line reel. So it's a good deal while they last.
Got no problem with them. That I've used Beasts quite a bit, and I've always been happy. I you know, there's not a lot of reels. I mean, I always say this: all the reels are good. Now. It is a matter, yeah, of personal preference now. You know, it's not like you're sifting through the garbage or anything of that nature anymore. But you're not going to be disappointed with a Boo. You're not going to be disappointed with the Tranks. But like I said, $100 off on a freaking Reeve or on a Beast, come on, it's a good, uh-huh, deal. Excuse me, I'm falling apart. I'm about to start hacking. I promise we will be 100% healthy by next week, so we're gonna wrap it up. So say goodnight, Jay Bird. We'll be
thanks for putting up with me.
We'll be taking donations for cough medicine. Now we'll be all right, guys. Thank you for putting up with a missed episode. We apologize. We hate to do that. Again, thank you to everybody that came out to the bash, and I'm sorry, yeah, anybody that Jay made sick. Later.
Night, guys.